So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, how's it hanging?
Happy Thursday. Hope you enjoyed a night of no real sports action.
Right.
Because we're getting a lot tonight.
We're getting everything back.
Yeah.
Couldn't have spread it out.
I'm good with it. Go back and forth.
You know
how get the clicker working again?
You know how down bad I was for any sporting events yesterday? I watched Stars Capitals.
I watched college basketball.
It was very boring.
Providence UConn. UConn won in overtime.
Dallas took over the beginning of the game and then just like limited Washington for having any shot quality.
So neither of us saw what happened in St. Louis and Chicago live. We all have to find out about that later.
Yeah.
Or what was it? It was Jordan Binnington hiding?
No. Binnington was in. Not only does Binnington pull a Binnington and refuse to go out, but backup goalie Joe Hoffer is sitting behind the wall around the corner.
It's peeking out a little bit.
Peeking out a little bit like, I don't want to go in there. Are you kidding me? They're rank 7 on Binnington. I don't want to do any work.
This is not my job today.
I don't feel like doing any work today.
And I'm not getting cooked. Absolutely not.
And that's very real.
I love that for him. Love that for him. Tonight, Sabres at the Rangers. Looking to hopefully go 2 straight wins. They don't start a losing streak. Very good for them. We'll see if they can score a power play goal. That'd be sick. And then at 7:30, we've got Ole Miss Miami as we get the semifinals underway in the college football playoff. What bowl game is this actually going to be? Is this going to be the Peach Bowl, Derek? Do we know? I mean, we have to know. I just need to look it up now.
Well, now, yeah, that's what it is.
Fiesta Bowl is today. Peach Bowl is tomorrow. That's Oregon and Indiana.
Yes. What's the sponsors this year on these things?
My thing with Fiesta Bowl, it's always got to be Tostitos. Like, I don't care if it's not, but, like, I watched the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl with Texas and Michigan. I'm like, that doesn't fit
no.
at all. Somebody needs to talk to marketing.
They're both orange.
I mean, we're really reaching there, but yeah, I guess it's true.
Hey, man, I stretched before I reached for that, okay?
But we got to talk to marketing.
We got to talk to marketing.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We got our first Bills injury report yesterday. Rather lengthy, although it was a walkthrough. And to be fair, we've kind of been going through this throughout the later half of this season of just kind of playing out guys' injuries, keeping everyone healthy, keeping everyone as upright as possible. Josh Palmer, a little bit of a surprise addition on the injury report, but I did see Sal Capaccio.
Not great.
No, not great. But Sal commented to a listener basically asking, like, did this happen in practice? And the answer is probably no, because if it did, Palmer would have been limited. So him not practicing was a late decision before practice. That could literally just be you played on the game on Sunday and a bunch of these other guys didn't. You get to sit down today. It's a walkthrough. We'll be fine. You'll be back on Thursday. We'll see again later today when the injury report does come out. But we're one day closer, and it's now actually starting to feel like we're getting there. Of course, for me and you, Derek, we do the show Tuesday through Thursday, so Thursday always, in a sense, for me, has that Friday feel.
It has a finality to it. It has that finality. Our week.
Yeah, and so for me now today, it does feel like we're sort of locking into this matchup.
Which is funny, because for me, it's not.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I've got Saturday.
You've got Saturday still.
With this wackadoo behind the glass and Joe Cali.
I won't stand for wackadoo, all right? Watch yourself.
All right, well, I'll find 14 other indirect, charming insults.
I like the charming in there. Yeah. Charming's in there.
That's why it's wackadoo.
That's good.
There's a little bit of a charm to it.
A lot of charm. I don't know what you're talking about.
But so for me, like,
you can't see his coiffed hair.
That's right. But for me, this is sort of like the last run here. And for most of this week, I've been going kind of back and forth about how I feel about the game as a whole. I think overall.
Yeah, yesterday before the show, you were kind of like not in a great place.
No. And I'll be honest, I've gone like kind of a 180 here. In part, a lot of it is to do with I think this is a bad matchup for the Bills, just in the sense of I think Jacksonville is the most complete team in the AFC. That does not mean that they are by far and away the best team in the playoff field, a great team even. We don't really know. They've played a lot of softer teams to finish out this year. With that all being said, I've listened and read a lot of kind of previews for this game. I like that I'm not alone in the sense that, at least nationally, it feels like most are picking this as like maybe the most intriguing game, maybe just outright the best game, maybe the most important game, what have you. But it all feels much more important than you would say Carolina and the Rams or Houston and Pittsburgh. Like, this game feels like the winner is going to really matter come 2-3 weeks from now when we're talking AFC, NFC Championship and Super Bowl. Where I sit today, though, Derek, and 803-0550, the number to call, want to give your thoughts. If the Bills are to win on Sunday, what is going to be the major reason why? We know Josh Allen's going to be in there, and he might be the major reason why. But what are some of the other things that are going to point to for this Bills team getting a win?
And for me, the first place I'm going to stop at is the word stop. The defense doing what it does, getting timely stops, frustrating a team that probably has a lot more talent on the other side, and finding a way to keep yourself in a game. What has even happened in the playoff losses? Despite everything, outside of 13 seconds, they get a timely stop somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, matter of fact, even in 13 seconds, there is a stop in there.
It's not when you needed it, technically, but that's right, yeah.
Well, I mean, at any point in that game, you needed any sort of stop.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they did get one and limited Kansas City to a field goal. And, oh my goodness, the Bills are back into this thing. Because it was later on, too. If it was a touchdown, the Bills are down 10.
Right.
So, no. Not always the way that it has to go. I think it is that. That's part of the recipe for how they've won all year. The defense makes the timely stops when they need to. And the offense is keeping pace. Or, even in the losses, it has been, we're trying everything we can. And it's just the other side of the football is not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it is the defense just has to do more of the same of what we've seen this year. And when I say that, that might scare some people contextually. But I'm still at, okay, hey, this is the opportunity. You are playing an offense that has been fantastic. Travis Etienne has rather justified his draft status. Trevor Lawrence has been playing one of his better years in his career. But that said, you could still bother Trevor Lawrence. You could still get some bad plays out of him. And then you've got to deal with the wide receiver trio there of Jacoby Myers, Brian Thomas, and Parker Washington. You're banged up. Everybody's kind of counting you for dead again on the defensive side of the ball. Can the duct tape defense, trademark pending, give me a couple more stops?
I think really for them it's going to be, can they just keep it going?
Yes.
The second half of the year, there have been some real bright spots. It's been frustrating at times in many of these losses where you'd love to bang the drum for the defense. Philadelphia, I think, is chief among them. The second half for Atlanta kind of starts the run of it. But I know Sneaky Joe put out this morning like how well they've done against rushing attacks recently. They've done exceptionally well against many, maybe not top-tier running backs outside of Saquon Barkley, but starting running backs, they've done very, very well. It's the number one secondary in the sport. They play cover two a lot, especially that too high safety. I think this is where I'm going with it, Derek, and it kind of is conjoined with yours because of the side of the ball that McDermott deals with the most, defense. And Bill's Chat Podcast quote tweeted my tweet as well, and we're kind of in the same vein with this. It's the McDermott game. Coaching needs to be the Bills' advantage this weekend. I think that's 100% right. I think this needs to be a game where on Monday or Sunday night, whenever we want to talk about it, we all sit back and go, that was one of McDermott's best playoff games. We can't sit here and go, he did it again. We can't have another chapter to the playoff botches by the coaching staff. It's not all on McDermott. I'm not saying right. It is. But he is the leader of that troop. He's got to get it done. And when I look at a rookie head coach making his playoff debut, I'm looking at a quarterback that, while is on a hot streak, has not necessarily had a lot of consistency in that
his career.
Guy. And I am looking at a team that is weathered, that has been there before. I think it has to be McDermott. I think it has to be him. I can, in some confidence, assume Allen is going to have a very good game. It, to some confidence. And I can assume that, to some confidence, James Cook will have a pretty good game. I need something from McDermott to confuse a quarterback who is not in the playoffs very much, who is sort of on a hot streak and is kind of testing it a little bit. He is throwing deep a lot. He is playing a little bit with fire, and he's doing it well. I'm not saying that as a negative to Trevor Lawrence at all, but he is doing it well. But he's still playing with a little bit of fire. And I listened to Trevor Sikkema's breakdown on this game, and even he kind of acknowledged that of like, can this run keep going, though? Are we sure that is sustainable? Because you're playing with fire a little bit there. That's where I think for me the biggest matchup is going to come down to is, can Sean McDermott flex that he is one of the better coaches in football, that he is in fact working really well with, in many ways, a duct tape defense? Or are we going to be coming in Sunday night for post game, Monday night or Monday morning, breaking it down, going, yeah, the head coach maybe failed him again.
And there's more pressure on it this time. Obviously, it's not going to make much of a difference right now, but when I say that, I do mean John Harbaugh's on the market. Kevin Stefanski's on the market. These are guys that are big names that ultimately I do think John Harbaugh needed to go. However, I do also think that Stefanski was mistreated by the Browns organization.
Yeah.
I think he's a better coach than his record, because I do not know how Andrew Berry got retained as general manager there. Here, let me give out the historically worst contract in football history. Good luck winning with this, Kevin. Also, the quarterback's bad.
Yeah, the only way I... The only way
the Shedeur
I can justify
Sanders
him
does
being
look
fired
little...
is if he was also in on Watson. He was like, yeah, get him here.
Yeah, unless that
it's
was
the only
case.
Way.
But then, ready? You don't have any part in the decision on the quarterback.
No.
Quarterback set.
Yeah.
You're actually all good there, as a matter of fact. But I've seen him take a Baker Mayfield-led Cleveland team.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And even a Joe Flacco-led team to the playoffs. He's not a total dunce.
No. I mean, for all the issues he's had in the last few years, especially like these blown leads, what have you. No, you're right. I mean, he has been able to win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, although they had a rough period.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Stefanski, not Harbaugh.
Oh, Stefanski.
So, but Stefanski's not a total dunce.
No.
And if you asked me if Stefanski would be available on these sorts of questions, well, I wouldn't have known that, actually. I would have wondered if they kept Stefanski over Berry, because I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But now there are names available that I wouldn't have suspected, because that's how this season went. I mean, Stefanski, Browns losing, it should have. And that's on me. But then there's Harbaugh. Guy who coached for Baltimore for 18 years. He has won a Super Bowl, as you mentioned, with Joe Flacco. Interesting, the connection. The guy has had solid seasons. He's also been one of the keys of Mitch's management, where I think that he is the coach that a lot of McDermott blind haters think he is. I think that's John Harbaugh. I don't want anything to do with John Harbaugh, because I have a better version of John Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Even if there's another playoff loss added in here, even if it's the first one and done in McDermott's Buffalo, well, the second.
First one since 2019.
First one since this team got to where it is, I should say, in this version of them. I need to learn how to count. But I've got better John Harbaugh. That's a downgrade.
We'll see. I think this is going to be sort of his moment. And you're hearing it, too, with all the pressure. No one's really putting it on Allen. Like, if you have noticed that, it's not – it is and it isn't. It's more, I know he's going to be very good, and he's got to rise to the occasion. I think in reality, a lot of it is on McDermott. I'm excited to see what he can do. There's been talks endlessly about how much he's improved as a coach. He is aggressive, and he has learned from the mistakes. Let's see. You've got a rookie head coach in his debut playoff game against a quarterback that, while not young, is inexperienced in these moments. What do you have?
And a quarterback who, when he's bad, he's bad.
When he's bad, he's bad. I mean, even in his one playoff win, he throws four picks in that game.
Right.
803-0550, the number two call. We'll go to the phones. Alan's up first this segment. Alan, how we doing?
Hey, good morning again, guys. I just wanted to say one thing, too. As the week goes on, I'm feeling more and more confident. I'll tell you why. Number one, I think the betting money, and I'm not a gambler much, but the betting money has stayed even the whole week. And the Bills are a road team. I liken this game back to the Patriots. And I know you could say there's difference. I just think the Patriots are a better team than the Jags. And when we were going into that game, all we heard about was Vrabel is coming off a bye. He hasn't lost. They're on an 8-game winning streak. Oh, my gosh, it's in New England. There's not going to be many Bills fans there because they don't sell their tickets. They're on fire. May's on fire. And, yes, they got off to a fast start, but look what happened. And I look at this game. I think one of the big X factors in this game is going to be the crowd. I think there's going to be at least 20,000 to 25,000 Bills fans there. I see it all over Twitter. Don't sell your tickets to Bills fans. And I see more and more offering $800-900 a seat. And how could people turn that down? That's what Jags fans are saying. But anyway, my point, too, is I just think it's going to come down to Allen. If you look at Trevor Lawrence, his completion just is a slightly over 60%. Even through that 6-8-game win streak, he's thrown some bad balls. And 60% is not that good nowadays in the NFL. That's below average. I think, what is it, 64% is average now? and that's going to come down big. And I think you're going to see Joey Bosa, just like in a couple games against New England and against Cleveland, where he came up with those big plays and Rousseau. I think that's going to present, because I don't think Trevor's super tall, if I'm not mistaken.
No, he's 6'6". He's huge, yeah.
Pardon me?
Trevor Lawrence is huge. He's 6'6".
Okay, that's right. I'm sorry. I keep picturing Tua because it's in the same place, but similar places. But my only concern is this, and I don't know if you guys brought this up. Prater says he's healthy. I get that. He wants to play. If on a kickoff he has a quad soreness or something and he can't kick a 27-yarder to win a game, what are we going to do? I trust McDermott in this game, and I think that's another X factor. I think his experience is going to shine. But my biggest fear is, what if on a kickoff we get these 35-yard line four times because Matt Wright or whatever his name is can't get it to where he wants, and it goes in the end zone, and they just say, well, we'll take it at the 35. I think I don't want this to come down to a 24-24 game, and we need a 32-yarder, and Ray Davis has to kick it. I mean, he might make it, actually, but that's my only concern. Other than that, I think the Bills win this 30-20. That's my pick. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Take care.
Alan, thanks for the call. On the kicker point, because we haven't really brought it up too much, I wouldn't play Prater. I feel for him. It sucks that the quad has just continued to be an issue for him.
It is that it popped back up.
And that's for me where it's like, dude, we literally can't have a situation where we had it with the Jets game where it just popped up. That game, it's fine.
We were lucky that it was the Jets.
And we weren't really playing for much. The backups are mainly in cool. Like we can't have that. Matthew Wright's in. He's far younger. Fine percentages, it's right around.
You also cannot have a situation where you are not able to call up another player on another position because you have to have two kickers at the ready.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. For me, I would just, Matthew Wright, one kicker, that's who it's going to be. Prater, we'll talk about next week.
Right, or even worse, not having a game day jersey.
Not even having,
That's the thing. Like, having the call-ups is one thing. The game day jersey. It's got to be right.
Well, yeah, cause, and especially, too, I can't imagine, and it's always a possibility, But I could not imagine dressing two kickers with the fear that maybe Prater. That's where I would also go, like, that's coaching malpractice. Just go with the one. Go with the one you just picked up. It is what it is. You've had to deal with it all year. And you know what? Maybe it forces you to be more aggressive. I'd love if the Jags got into a thing where Cam Little can hit 60-yard field goals, so we're going to go for those more and not go for touchdowns. I'd love that scenario.
But the thing is, and this is where I've gotten to about the field goal situation, or the kicker situation, excuse me, don't leave it up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever it may be, don't leave it up to him. If you have the coaching acumen that we seem to think that you do, do not leave it up to the kicker here.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll take one more call here before our first timeout. Steven is up next. Steven, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, before I get to my point about the game Sunday, I just want to ask, have either of you guys ever heard of a movie that came out in 2001 called Second String?
No.
Can't say that I have.
Okay, look that up on YouTube. It's about the Buffalo Bills. It actually has Doug Flutie and Thurman Thomas and Mike Ditka and the voice of the Bills, Van Miller. It's a great movie. So it stars John Voight and Gil Bellows. It's a really great movie. You'll enjoy that. So the thing I wanted to say about this game, I keep hearing about how the Jaguars have the number one run defense. Okay, that may be so. But I'm hearing, so, you know, there's hesitance about whether the Bills should really focus on running the ball on them. But look, the Bills are the number one running offense in the league. They have the rushing king, James Cook. That's exactly why they need to run on this team. Just run it down their throats and establish the run game to prove that there's a superior team. And I think the way this game fans out for the Bills rushing-wise is going to, you know, end up showing, you know, whether the Bills are going to win this game. And I'm confident they're going to beat them because that way they can establish, you know, as you know, play action. And plus, Josh Allen, he's probably the most mobile quarterback. He's the number one player in the league. So I want to see the Bills really do a good job running the ball on this team and proving that they can beat them. Because my understanding is I don't think they've allowed any running back to run for more than like 75 to 80 yards this season. And I think Cook is, you know, able to run way more than that. He's proven that. So, you know, I want to see the Bills just go out and really establish the run game. They've got an elite, you know, front line too, the offensive line. So, and you know, the way the tight ends can block and even the wide receivers, I have no doubt Buffalo can go out there and establish themselves for what they do best and then win this game big time and move on to the divisional round.
Steven, thanks for the call. It's going to be a hard test for Cook. I mean, this is a team that went up against Jonathan Taylor multiple times, and we're also able to handle him. He's one of the best backs in football. I do like the idea, though, of opening up the play-action game. I think Brandon Cooks really could be something for the Bills. Kincaid being healthy up the middle of the field could be huge for them as well. They're healthy on offense. I think that's going to be a huge factor in this game. And we've seen the numbers. When Kincaid's in versus when he's out, I love what Cook can do. I think Cook maybe more could open up the game, though, for Kincaid.
Hey, you know what? I'm here for attack a team's strengths because they won't expect it.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. Bills win on Sunday. What do you think is a major reason why? We'll keep taking your calls as we go on throughout the morning. But coming up next, after a quick timeout, Sal Capaccio joins the show for the latest on the Bills. We got our first injury report yesterday for both Bills and the Jags. We'll get his thoughts on all of that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.